Welcome to Automates, the podcast that brings you musings from thought leaders and industry pioneers who are shaping the way we work, think, and succeed. Each episode is packed with insights, expert interviews, and practical tips that will inspire and empower you to take your business to the next level. So tune in, subscribe, and get ready to innovate with Automates. Ryan McLeod. Hello, sir. How are you? You well?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. I'm awesome. In fact, I'm not.
You got a podcast now.
It's the end of the day, and I've got a podcast now, so I don't know.
It's not the end of the day for me. It's the middle of the day for me.
There you go. So it's like post-lunchtime. Hopefully, you haven't just had lunch, and you're going to feel tired.
No, it's just before lunch. So.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Perfect.
Still early.
It's
a week in the States, so.
It is. I've been chatting to somebody about that. They're sort of going on a nice holiday, a nice break. I've got a general election on Thursday, so it's like,
where are you going to move to? I'm looking at Iceland, I think.
Iceland's good, but it's dark a lot. I want a bit more sun.
Yeah, I suppose. It's true.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I haven't really worked it out. But it's lovely to see you. I haven't seen you in... Age. Wait, I haven't seen you since I last saw you in person, I think.
I last saw you. That is absolutely true. Legal Tech, probably. Legal Tech?
No, I saw you in London.
That's right. I was in London. Yeah, I forgot.
Yeah. I did.
Cool.
Yeah, but it's good to see your face. Good to see your face. So, Ryan, not everyone knows you, but they do.
Hard to believe.
Not everyone knows you. So why don't you spend a couple of minutes just telling us about yourself, where you are, what interests you, and what doesn't.
Where I am, what interests me. So I am the CEO and principal of Sente Advisors. We are a small innovation consultancy. We work with large law firms, mostly AmLaw Global 100 firms. We have some large legal nonprofit clients that we work with now. And we do a wide range of things, but essentially we're all experts in legal technology and innovation with more than 20 years experience each. And we supplement our clients' teams. So they all have, knowledge management or innovation teams. They sometimes call them different things. But we have access to a lot of technologies. We do a lot of prototyping. We do a lot of tech evaluation. We do a lot of strategy. It really depends on what our clients need. But if you can imagine anything that you could hand off to a senior person who has had years of experience inside of a law firm and working at a tech company and being a consultant, we do that for our clients.
Awesome. So what with everything going on at the moment, there's a ton of innovation happening. So you must be super busy doing all the super
very busy.
Things.
Yeah. A lot of Gen AI, which I know we're going to talk about. It is taking over most of the conversations that we have. Thankfully it's not all of them. It's a interesting time to be in, and in both senses of that, it's good to be an interesting time. It's also difficult to be in an interesting time when, the state we're in legal technology and innovation right now. So.
No, and I think there's lots of people feeling that kind of tension between sort of the classic business as usual requirements of a business and that sort of strategy, kind of what should we be doing? How should we be doing it? And then there's the magpie world that I sort of talk about, which is what's shiny. So we should be doing shiny things. And it's like
shiny often wins. Shiny is a big winner, especially in law firms. People like shiny. Shiny's easier to sell internally because management sees shiny and they go, oh, we should have shiny. And but actually, I mean, one of the things we've seen is obviously the Gen AI stuff is the shiny stuff right now, but it's actually helped bring to the forefront a lot of technologies that are not shiny, have been around for 10 years, but people don't realize they have them. And there's been an opportunity to say, yes, we can do that with Gen AI. You won't like it. I can show you what that looks like. Okay, now let me show you how you could do it with these other things. And that's something you've had for a while. Let's figure out how we can
I think that that's it, it's sort of the Gen AI sort of piece when you're looking for use cases, when you're looking to build a business case to sort of adopt, buy, do whatever, build your own. You sort of you sit there, and I think a lot of the time, one of the last questions, particularly of firms that I've spoken to, so this isn't sort of every firm, so don't take this as a generalized point, but they haven't looked at what's on their bench. They've not looked at what they've got as to whether or not that might address the same use cases that they're scrabbling around to find a reason to buy something for. So it's I think it's a really interesting sort of tension point. And I think it's the my sort of most common conversation at the moment, coming from a tech vendor myself, is you sort of sit there and you're talking about sort of the hard yards of process automation, the hard yards of knowing what your workflows look like and sort of creating that structure around it, and the sort of the low-hanging fruit that you can sort of really drive value from and understanding where that is versus that shiny world. And I think that's the other side of it. I think it's created this sense of decision paralysis or something, which is we've got all of these problems that we've had for a while. We know about all this tech that we've got as well, but actually there's other new problems or there's other things. And it's almost like sort of that's been forgotten about. This has taken sort of some kind of not priority, but sort of it's taken its advantage.
Well, I think you have to take into account that the problem that that people at the firm are trying to solve is not necessarily first and foremost, let's create a better experience for our lawyers and our clients. It's management says we have to have a Gen AI plan, right? Yeah. Okay, well, but you've got tools that will do this. Okay, that doesn't help me with the Gen AI plan. So you have to be willing to do a little bit of this and at the same time pull along the other. And I think a lot of the Gen AI stuff plays well with other tools, right? Yeah. So I've had a lot of success with data extraction from documents that you could have done with machine learning. Certainly, in fact, it might be better with machine learning, but you don't have the data to train the machine, right? So Gen AI is actually pretty good at doing that with minimal data. And then you take the extraction out, and now you've got variables that you can drop into document automation, that you can drop into other reasoning tools, right? And that's, that's where I see the strength of this technology, is filling in these little gaps that that are otherwise completely manual, right? Yeah. And manual is not a dirty word, right? That is the work that we all do. But if we can get that process automation and fill in some of those manual things and reduce that time, we can build efficiencies in a lot of mid office and back office work that I think that are very beneficial to law firms potentially.
No, I completely agree with you. I think that's the thing. It isn't the solution. It's part of the solution. It's right. Sort of thing. I think I'm going to go back to something that you said 6, 7, 8 years ago or whatever, when you coined the phrase bricolage, which is like together different technologies to solve a problem, a pain point, or whatever it might be. And I think that's how all of these different technologies will be brought. It won't be through one AI provider that's going to solve these things. It's how do you plug that capability into a broader set of processes, outcomes, whatever it might be.
Well, I definitely didn't coin the term bricolage, but I think I started using it in this context.
Yeah.
So I'll take credit for that. But I think, you mentioned something about you know, the process improvement and mapping the processes and all of that. I think what a lot of people aren't taking into account when they're looking at Gen AI solutions is you still need to do that stuff, right? Yeah. Because it's not that you just, you know, install an AI server and then just start throwing stuff at it and getting output. No, you have to know what your process is. What are the manual steps to get from A to B? And then what are the things that AI can actually do for me? What are the things that different types of AI can do for me within that process? And you know, what other technologies can I pull in? So it's not about, we're not replacing lawyers with Gen AI, certainly. But it's about figuring out where in the process you can supplement all of your technologies and enhance the capabilities of your lawyers using these new tools.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's the big thing for when we talk to clients about our platform, when we talk to clients about what prospects about sort of the future of where we sit. And it's like, it's sort of chat interfaces, points of need don't scale. They don't scale. Right. That kind of UX doesn't sort of work in that kind of way. Understanding what are those component parts? What are the different flavors of those component parts? How do they complement different types of processes, different types of workflow, outputs, outcomes? And that's a key part of the maturity curve I think we'll see over the next sort of 12, 18, 36 months, because different firms are on different trajectories. It's like you chat to sort of people and they've made investment, they're charging ahead, they're doing great things, they're banking on sort of finding the use cases, not necessarily having them, but finding the use cases, getting return on the investment. And you've got others that are taking a step back a little bit slower. You've got others that are building their own and sort of and looking at how that sort of evolves. And I think it's quite interesting how, and I guess this necessarily wasn't a part of our conversation topic, but it's sort of a thread really, is how do you see, so the firms you engage with, they come to you because of your expertise, your background and your experience and your team's experience. And that's because they potentially don't have that inside their firm, or they need to augment their existing structure. They need to do it in a way that sort of is right-sizing. It's not necessarily about increasing their headcount by four people, but they might need that fourth person, fifth person, sixth person at some point. How do you see the evolution of some of these tools and the need for teams to become more technically savvy? We both come from a background of your kind of low code, no code of work. I don't like those terms anymore, but that's the background. That's the history type thing. You give people, you can configure stuff and do stuff. But ultimately, to do anything really juicy, you've got to be quite technical. You've got to be, you've got to understand RAG. You've got to understand all of these different components that sort of come together. How do you see the requirement of innovation teams or other departments inside of law firms needing to skill up and scale up? How do you see that sort of maturing?
I think it's still early days. I think one thing that I've talked to a number of firms, and those who have done very little or nothing with Gen AI are freaking out. We're so far behind. Well, you're not. The reality is nobody has these skills right now. I mean, we've got these skills, but I've spent the last year and a half, 2 years learning them and learning them through trial and error and reading crazy forums and doing all that work and all that research. There are very few people inside of firms that have that right now. They will, I think. And part of what we're talking to people about is, what are the roles that you need to have when you're doing this sort of thing? And I'm putting together a talk right now for AAOL at the end of this month in Chicago, middle of this month in Chicago. And I'm talking about budgeting for Gen AI projects. And one of the things we've set out is the different roles you have to have. And that's going to be different in every firm in terms of you know, who those people are, how many of them you have, you know, what they cost, et cetera. So you can't really, I can't tell you, you need to get this person, you're going to pay them this much. But the roles are pretty straightforward, many of which you already have, right? Mm-hmm. But the biggest one is your subject matter experts. Yeah. And the issue there, because you've got lots of lawyers, if you're doing mid-office or back-office stuff, you've got the experts within the firm that know what needs to happen and how it works. The problem is if you're using lawyers for that work to do that, all of the testing, right? You're taking not only, you're paying double for them, right? Yeah. Not only their time that you're paying for, but you're removing them from billable hour work. If that's, you know, assuming you're doing it, you're still charging by the hour, as which most firms are. But this takes time. You are not going to get one lawyer for 2 hours and get and figure out how this Gen AI process works, right? This needs that you need to have experts in their field, not doing the prompting or anything, but actually working with the people who are to ensure that, okay, this is the input. These are the steps we're going through, making sure that those are working correctly and that the output you get is not perfect, because it will not be, but is an acceptable draft that they would take and edit to get, you know, to get whatever their final product is. That takes a lot of time. And frankly, that's your highest cost. Even taking into account the crazy expensive costs for some of these big Gen AI tools, you're going to spend more money than that just having your subject matter experts work with the people that are going to do the technology.
Yeah. And that's often something that's completely forgotten about, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's like,
absolutely. It's not taken into account.
No.
The as far as the Gen AI piece goes, you know, like I said, I don't think not very many firms have that expertise right now. And there's not a lot of people on the market, so you can't just go out and find them easily. That will change, but I don't think it's there yet. There's plenty of people that say, you know, oh, I use ChatGPT, so I'm an expert at Gen AI, right? But that's different. You need people that that understand the technology, that can test it, that can do the prompting. More importantly, that can then work with your subject matter experts. I think a lot of firms will bring that up internally, right? They will find people with skills that are compatible in their knowledge teams, in their innovation teams, maybe in IT, but I don't think this is primarily a technology approach. You don't need primarily a technology mindset. But that's not to say you're not going to find somebody in that. It may be also be PSLs, knowledge management lawyers, you know, but I think you'll begin to find those people that have an aptitude and an interest, and they can scale up. If you want to move faster than that, I do think you want to get a consultant or somebody who knows this, but make sure they're working with your people to skill them up, right? Yeah. You don't want to be in a position where, okay, well, we have to contact our Gen AI consultants so we can do this next project, right? And you're paying top dollar for outside people. You want to get those skills in-house as quickly as possible.
I think that sort of raises a slightly different sort of thread, which is, so if you've got the people in internally already who are, aside from the subject matter experts in terms of the lawyers and the professionals on the business services side, if they become consumed with sort of the future of work, who does their current work? You know what I mean? It's like there's that balance, isn't there? It's like, how do you take them away from their day job? Whether not necessarily sort of from a lawyer perspective, but sort of your PSLs, your knowledge workers and everything else, because they're already having to bring you in to do stuff.
So. Yeah. Well, frankly, if you've got people inside that have aptitude and capacity to do this and interest and capability, train them up to do this. You can find people to do their old job, right? Yeah. Go get people to backfill. I think you're probably better off. Not necessarily. I do think the market will heat up. You train up your people in-house, they become commodities on the market, right? So you need to treat them well to keep them around, or they're gonna go to the highest bidder. So, but yeah, I mean, I think it's not unlike any other technology that comes along. That if you know, there's always a period where there's no experts in it, and eventually there are, and we go from there.
So, I mean, I think the way that you were thinking about things in terms of looking after your people and understanding sort of there was a nuance there around understanding that they also understand the culture of the business and the challenges and the existing sort of environment that they operate in. So sort of your point around sort of working through that and working with them, training them up, making sure that you can sort of keep hold of that institutional knowledge is a really strong point. I think the next thing to think about in my head is sort of how we as technologists, how you as a consultant then start to think about the adoption of this kind of technology. Because I think in legal tech, it's sort of safe to say that there's been an adoption challenge. You can bring in technologies like your DMS and everything else, and sort of people challenge or battle against it. You can bring in sort of point solutions, and it'll be right for some and not right for others. How do you see sort of is there a potential for these kinds of technologies to be adopted more easily? Is there more of an excitement around it, or is it do we think that there'll be the same kind of challenge?
I think there often is more excitement around it up front, which if it doesn't go well right off the bat, quickly sours. We see the hype curve at play inside of firms, you know, where it's, oh my gosh, this is great, I love it. And then, oh wait, it doesn't do, oh, this is a lot of work. Oh, I'm doing 10 times more than I would just to do it. Yeah, that's the trough of disillusion. That happens inside the firm too. Yeah. I think it's like any other technology. You know, our approach is start small. You know, I think if you are buying the technology because it's the cool new technology, it's going to fail. People won't use it. They may eventually, but then they're going to realize it's a pain in the butt. If you are solving real problems, people will use it, but they won't adopt it because they're not going to go do anything else that they wouldn't have done before. They're simply going to, you know, if you do it right and you solve their problem and you work within their existing workflow as much as possible, they'll use it because it's an easier scenario than doing it the old way, right? If you don't improve their experience, they're not going to use it. If you build out the perfect solution and then deliver it to them and say, here, you got to do all this differently now, it's not going to happen. So I don't think it's actually an adoption problem. It's a general rollout of technology problem. We do it backwards, right?
Yeah.
We're not solving the problem. We're giving you new tech, and you should be excited and grateful. And you know, lawyers just want to practice law. It's not my thing, but you know, that's what they want to do. I get it. And they don't want to be technologists. So, and I think that's true with the Gen AI stuff. If you're asking them to learn to prompt, it's not going to work. Some of them will, but how many of them learned to do Boolean searching? They didn't. And what did that mean? Enterprise search never worked, but it wasn't because the technology was bad. It was because they never learned how to change their mindset to use it to get the value out of it. I think here, what we're talking about is you need those people trained up internally, consultants, whoever it is, to help them take advantage of the technology without having to train them how to use the technology. And that, I think, what we have seen is if you do that, adoption is off the charts. People are thrilled to use it because it makes their lives easier.
Yeah. And I think what you'll see is you'll see firms and vendors baking in Gen AI capabilities, but not calling it Gen AI. They know it is, and other people know it is, but it's just a button that does something. But because it's got AI at the end of it, you have to sort of do the neon lights and the crazy that goes around it, the shiny stuff. I think that will dissipate. And I think what you'll find is you'll find sort of technologies that sort of are AI enabled or whatever it might be, but you won't know which bit is which model and which bit is doing what bit. And I think sometimes for as an end user, you don't really, and you shouldn't really care. Does it do the job well? Am I still compliant? Am I meeting my client's demands? Am I doing things in a sort of a risk managed kind of way? If the answer is yes, then I don't care what's under the hood, because you've not cared before. You've not cared before, so why care now? And I think that's where I think we'll end up. I think we'll end up in a world where you won't have AI at the end of the vendor name, and you won't have all the other bits and pieces. It will just be, it's tech. It's a commodity. It does what it does.
Absolutely. I think that is the future I see for it. It's not going to be the be all and end all. It's going to be really useful and a really good component that gets slotted in. Ideally, it will be, as you said, a magic button that that the vendor puts on their tech to do the one thing that is a pain in the butt in their tech, right? But they've built out that prompt to do it, and you just have to hit the button, and you rewrites your cause for you, whatever it is, right? and with the warning that says, hey, double check this.
Triple check it.
Triple check this. Exactly.
Yeah. And I think so that's quite circling back around and sort of maybe dropping the topic of Gen AI. I mean, you see a lot of tech. You've been around the block. You know some things.
Call me old. Yeah.
But what do you see as what's exciting you that isn't the noise
that of the sound?
What are the things out there? What are the kind of projects that you're engaged with customers? What are the things that sort of you get up and it creates that kind of fulfillment? The thing that goes, yeah, I did that and that's cool.
Yeah. We've had some good ones. Like I said, we've been working with some large legal nonprofits over the last couple of years. And we do for them the kinds of things we do for law firms, but they have very different cultures. Mm-hmm. They have very different mindset. Efficiency is not a bad word if you're doing legal work for, nonprofit scenarios, right? You're doing either defense, public defense, or civil defense, that sort of thing. You're helping people with their housing needs, right? So, on one hand, it's nice to be doing what we do for good, as well as helping major corporations, which I'm all for helping major corporations. But it's nice to see that there is room. And there's a definite need in the nonprofit space. I highly recommend vendors start moving that direction because these programs they tend to be smaller. We happen to be working with some of the really big ones, but most of them are smaller. They have all the same needs that law firms do. Sometimes they don't have the budget. But honestly, they can get grants and they're happy to pay for good technology. But frankly, they're not being sold to. They don't know what's available. I think there's a terrific opportunity there for the legal tech community to actually start making a difference more broadly across the legal sphere, not just focus on the big law firms. I'm as guilty as anybody, right? But I think there's an opportunity for our community to actually do a lot of good.
It sounds really cool. I mean, I think that's sort of one of the things that this sort of podcast, where we are, what we do, and how we do it as a community, as an industry, as a thing. It's like highlighting those opportunities to make a difference, and highlighting those things where you can sort of do something good.
And just, you know, I think when I talk to some vendors about it, there is the perception of, oh, well, you know, we need to have massive discounts or something for nonprofits. Again, nonprofit doesn't mean they don't have money. It is a good thing to offer a discount, without a doubt. But if you've got technology that will help them practice law, and it's the right tool for them, they can get money. So that's not the issue. That shouldn't be the issue that holds vendors back from talking to the nonprofits. So
that makes sense.
I'll get off that soapbox.
We'll get you onto another soapbox. That's no problem. Let's talk about sort of at the core of what you do as an organization. You sort of, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, you augment sort of existing innovation teams, existing teams, KM teams, however that particular firm describes the organization. Do you bring together collections of innovation playbooks or things that have worked in the past, depending on what you're being asked to do? But is there a formula to how you like to engage, how you've seen your customers get the most out of your engagement kind of experiences?
So there's no playbook. And I've said for years, long before I was a consultant or even out of a law firm, I think I started saying it before I knew it was true. I sort of felt it was true, but I didn't know for certain. Now I know for certain. I could take the work that I've done for one firm, give you exactly what I did, how I did it, why I did it, every step of the way, a playbook to recreate it, and it's worthless inside of another firm. Mm-hmm. They may take broad concepts, but that step by step is completely useless, because every firm is so very different. The cultures are different. The tech stack is different. The skills that the teams have are different.
Yeah.
There's a lot of concern with law firms, especially about, oh, we don't want to give up our competitive advantage. And from my perspective, tell everybody everything, because they can't do it, right? They can't do it the way you did it. But they might be inspired by you and actually figure out, oh, we could do something else, or we could do it differently. We put our spin on it. But they can't take what you've done and do anything with it. So that's the answer. Is there a playbook for us? No. I wish there was. That would be easy. but no, what we do is, because we all have very different skill sets, and we approach problems from a different perspective and direction, we work with our in-house teams. We work with our clients to evaluate where the problem is that they're trying to solve, and we pass clients off within Sente. For the next 3 months, I'm working with client A on this project because it really fits with the kind of stuff that I'm doing. But once I'm done with that, you know, I might be doing a lot of knowledge engineering and really working with the subject matter experts to understand what the process is, et cetera. Well, once we're ready to apply tech, I might hand it off to Shashi. I'll stay involved. I'm still working on it. We're still meeting regularly about it. But, you know, for the next couple of months, he's really taking lead on that client, right? And I think with our clients, what we find is their teams have similarity, right? They have their own like sets of skills that overlap but don't quite, you know. So each client may have different holes that we need to fill, and sometimes we help them. Write job descriptions for, you want to find somebody for this type of role, and this is what it should have. There's no one size fits all kind of approach to innovation, I don't think.
No, and I think that's right. But I think you touch on something really interesting. I sort of, whenever I've been responsible for teams of people, I sort of used to describe it, and I still do sometimes, used to describe it as I'm building a puzzle. Not every piece is the same shape. Not every piece is a corner. Not every piece is, you know, there are elements of it that overlap, the design, the structure, and all that sort of stuff. But ultimately, not everyone is the same. And you do need a team to bring all of that stuff together, because everyone's got different experiences and sort of understanding of stuff.
Yeah. Well, what I've seen be really successful in recent years, and we've seen this at a couple of clients, and I'm kind of pushing other clients to do the same. Innovation, when I was doing, first of all, I was doing it, I had no team, it was me.
You were innovation. You're on your next soapbox. You're on your next soapbox.
But I couldn't, obviously I couldn't do everything that an innovation team needs to do. So I had to pull together, you know, temporary teams for each project, right? And I had to get budgeting for each project separately, and because I didn't have a standing budget for innovation. I think that's, you know, where innovation teams were at the time I was doing it, and for the next several years, I really saw it as like, it was, in the States especially, it was knowledge management 3.0, right? Yeah. It was, the States were never happy with knowledge management, because it, I don't know, it never caught on, because I think lawyers didn't like the idea that anybody was going to manage their knowledge, right? Never mind, that's not really what it was about. But for some reason, you call it innovation, and they were all for it, right? They could, oh, well, yeah, we're innovative. That's good. But what I've seen shift, you know, the innovation teams, as they came about over the last several years, kind of morphed from strictly knowledge management to more, still knowledge management, but more tech focused. And what I've seen happen in the last few years that I think is really strong and good is they function as a startup inside the firm, right? If you can build, and you'll appreciate this having worked at several startups, and not that that's an easy thing or a model for how to do anything, right? But, you know, when you go from a firm setting to a startup, you realize there is this camaraderie, there is this teamwork element, there's the sense of we're all trying to get to the same place.
Yeah.
And also, you know, what I discovered, and I've talked to others who've discovered, when you go into that environment, it's a revelation that I had an idea and we implement it next week. Right? We don't have to spend 6 months going through everything to figure out, is this the right thing, or what's it going to cost, and how are we going to contract for it, and right, and who's going to be responsible? You know, all of that stuff is important, but when you're trying to innovate, you need to do it and figure that stuff out as you're doing it. You can't just you can't do the traditional law firm waterfall approach with, we're going to have a project plan and we're going to all agree on this project plan and we're going to know exactly when we're going to move on to the next stage. You know, that sounds great, but in reality, you can't innovate with that.
Yeah.
Right? You have to be able to pull in new stuff as you learn it, put it in play, get feedback, change it, update it. And that really requires that sort of company within a company mindset, I think.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point. And I think that mindset is really important. What do you think about sort of the challenges of that when you get to a point where it's, okay, this is now production. I'm now innovating on another thing. I think a lot of the time firms aren't quite ready or aren't prepared for that BAU moment of, mm-hmm. Well, we've got it. It's done. Yeah. We've innovated. It's a new thing. Who's going to manage it? Who looks after it? I think that's that's yet to be solved. I think that's
well. So I'll tell you, I've got a client who's a great firm with an incredible team. And when we came in, what we saw is, and they were very similar to that. Not the startup yet, but they have these overlapping skills. They've got really great skills. They were innovating. They would do stuff, but then they were, it never got to that next stage. So they ended up with all of this baggage. Well, every time they need to do this, I need to run a script and I need to do this thing. And it's, so I spend all my time managing and maintaining this thing that I built 3 months ago. Well, no, that doesn't work. Again, that goes back to the startup mindset, right? You have people that are doing research and development, that are testing, that are playing, that are, and as it moves on, you need to hand it off, right? You have to put the processes in place to update and maintain it. You have to have the tools in a law firm environment. You have to have the tools in order to make it self-serve, right? They don't need to contact me to run a script to get this result. They need to put their document in this file, and then it triggers this and it does that, and right? And if that process breaks, then they contact me, or then they contact the maintenance people, whomever it is, right? But you have to, that's part of being a startup. You go from the research and development to the testing, to the production, to the maintenance. And the same people doing the research and development are not the people doing the maintenance, right? That is a major problem I see in a lot of firms. But I think the ones that are taking on this different sort of mindset are starting to get that. They need to function differently.
Yeah, definitely. Are you, do you see a difference? Because you mentioned at the beginning that you've got clients on both sides of the pond, and you've engaged, and you sort of obviously worked for NRF. Do you see differences between approaches to innovation between the US and the UK? Do you see sort of like fundamental differences? Is there enough commonality to not really strike a balance between the two?
Well, so I do see a difference. Part of it is difficult. I think there's always a grass is always greener element to it. Because I look at a lot of UK firms and think, I wish American firms could do more of that.
Yeah.
Because I do think there's a mindset that is more exploratory. Like, we're willing to take a chance. We're willing to try this new thing. And law firms in the States tend to be more conservative, which is not bad, in every respect. But, yeah. If you're trying to be innovative, it's difficult. I think that actually goes back to what I saw when I was in knowledge management as a fundamental difference, where knowledge management, I felt like, was very much embraced in Europe and in the UK. They had PSLs early, and they were embedded in practice groups, and they worked with knowledge management teams, but they had knowledge of what the lawyers were actually doing. And the States, it was very much, we don't want lawyers that aren't billing to be doing anything, right? So they didn't want to do that. So the knowledge management piece was very different. And as knowledge management shifted to innovation, I recognize they're still separate things, but they're often the same teams. I think that carried over with it. So I feel like there is a little bit of a disconnect there between the UK and European firms and the US. But my sense is it's diminishing, in part because innovation has become that buzzword. And, when I first had an innovation role and went to my first one of my first knowledge management conferences, I was one of two people out of 100 in the room that had innovation in my title. I go to that same conference this year, and it's 70% have innovation in their title, even though it was a knowledge management, originally a knowledge management conference. I think that has, that shift in mindset from knowledge management to innovation has made it more acceptable in the States and begun to break down that difference.
Yeah. And that makes it, having worked with clients on both sides and currently working with clients on both sides, you talk to people and the approaches. And I think what's really interesting is you see it on LinkedIn all the time. The capacity for some firms these days to be hiring lots of people in knowledge and innovation, particularly in the States, it doesn't feel like those particular firms are just catching up. It feels like they are making a massive statement about, okay, well, this is how we're going to approach stuff now. This is what we do. And I think that's really interesting in terms of the not the monetization, but the idea that knowledge is the core sort of foundation of the future. I mean, Gen AI, data, structured data, understanding your insights, what you've got, all of that stuff is a knowledge function at some sort of point in time. You know what I mean? So it's I think it's gonna be a great place to operate and exist in for years to come. I think it's definitely there. Talking about years to come, what's different soapbox, but maybe crystal ball time. Crystal ball. How do you see? You've talked indirectly about how innovation/ knowledge has changed over the last sort of 5 years. What's happening in the next 5 years, or maybe next 2 years, or the next 30 minutes? Let's go next, 30 minutes.
I don't know. I mean, if you'd asked me 5 years ago, would I have been able to predict where we are today? No. I think the Gen AI thing is going to hit the trough of disillusion. And that's when I'm really going to love it, because we can cut out the bullshit and just start talking about what we can actually use this amazing technology for.
Yeah. Right. 100%.
I think we are still at the top of the hype curve, and it may be starting to nose down. So I think we will go through a trough in legal around the technology as people really get their hands on it and start to understand what it's good at and what it's not good at. It's not magic. It's amazing. It's not magic. So I think that's the first thing I would say. Otherwise, I would love to see more firms taking on that innovation startup concept. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that'll catch on. You're talking about the U.S. investing heavily. I have seen that with a lot of firms. I would caution. I think there is a disconnect. There are amazing firms that win awards, and there are other firms that win awards. Just because you've won an innovation award or 50 doesn't actually mean a lot. Some of the most innovative firms I know do not apply for those awards. Right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So there's an interesting disconnect there. And what happens is those innovative firms who aren't applying for awards turn around and say, oh, well, look at all the stuff that they're doing. they're not doing that much more than you are. So if any more than you are. That's a long way of saying, I don't know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm going to ride it. I'm not worried about there not being a need for what we do in law firms in the near future. I think that will only increase regardless of what the technologies are, whatever the IT technologies are. You know, the reason I went into this, the reason I'm a consultant now, is because I don't know what I'm going to be doing, right? I want to be doing whatever the interesting work is. If I didn't, I would have stayed at a law firm and continued doing what I was doing, for the foreseeable future. So I'm thrilled that we're in a position to try the new stuff that comes out and to provide our opinions and to help our clients learn what's good and what's not, what's possible and what's not.
No, it makes sense. And do you, I guess, so we touched on it earlier on, but sort of looking at sort of the hard yards of innovation. So all of your processes and your mapping and stuff like that, coming back to what we do, because obviously that's the future. That is the future. Yeah, that was the right answer, Ryan. And obviously,
yeah, absolutely.
But how do you sort of see that sort of kicking in? Because I think that's oftentimes you sort of, I chat to prospects, I chat to clients, and they sort of go, oh, yeah, we've got this process. And it's like 3 people and 5 steps, and it's 20 people and 70 steps. And it's like, okay, so now you know the hard yards. You've got to reimagine, rethink, go through that process. I think I'd love to see sort of the adoption of the tech be coupled with the understanding that you've got to do some hard yards. There's some work that's got to be done to get you to leverage it.
That is so core to everything we do that, mm-hmm. you know, we often get pulled into projects with new clients after they've failed, right? They had a project, lawyer wanted to do X. It's just these 3 steps. They bought a no-code tool and implemented doing those 3 steps, but it wasn't sufficient. So we come in and we're like, okay, well, let's take a look at this, right? What's your process? And they've got 3 bullet points. Okay, that's not a process. Right? Let's start working on that. And that's hours working with the subject matter expert to truly map out all of the variables, all of the steps. You know, I use Lucidchart. So, mm-hmm. I mean, this is not high-tech stuff, right? If drawing boxes and arrows and, you know.
Yeah, we use Miro. Yeah. It's the same thing. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, the number of times that I've spent weeks doing that with someone and, you know, and I'll take regulations or legislation or whatever it is that we're trying to evaluate and present it to them in a chart with all the lines and everything. And they'll look at it and say, I never thought about it like that. I'd never looked at it in that sort of holistic sense. Lawyers have a tendency to be very linear in their thinking, yeah. A to B to C to D. Well, actually, there are scenarios where it's A to D. There is. Yeah, but I never thought about it like that. It's just A minus C and D. I mean, it's a very direct linear thing. And by giving it to them in a more holistic, you know, higher level view, it actually, I think, often helps them have a better understanding of the law, understanding of the regulations, whatever it is they're trying to do. Only when you have that do we figure out, okay, where do we put the tech, right?
Yeah.
Do we need tech? Sometimes it's just, we figured out the process. This is going to that person 2 steps too soon, right? Let's just change. It's still people, but we're just going to change the order and redo this. Sometimes it's, you know, there is tech we can add and it's just in this section, but all of this is fine as is. And then it comes output here and it goes there. You know, once you've got that figured out, then you can begin applying the technology where it belongs, where it's useful, when it will be effective. And that goes back to the adoption issue, right?
100%.
Because then I've got the whole thing mapped out. You're doing exactly what you're doing. We're just making this easier for you. So there's nothing to adopt. You just do what you're doing, but now you don't have to do these other steps. And that makes the adoption much easier. And you don't have that problem if you do it right.
Yeah, agreed. 100%. We're almost up at time, Ryan. So okay. I have one final question for you.
Sure.
And I ask this of all of the sort of the founders, the CEOs that I chat to. And it's one of inspiration. So where do you get your inspiration for how you operate Sente? What do you do? Do you read books? Do you watch YouTube? Where do you go when you think, right, I need something. I need a spark. Where am I going to get that spark?
So yes, all of the above. I find inspiration in lots of things. Business books, not so much occasionally. But I think the inspiration for Sente originally was I wanted to be the consultants that I wanted when I was inside of a firm, right? I wanted to have somebody that I could just call and say, hey, what do you think of this? Or, hey, what do I do about this? Or somebody that's going to meet with me regularly and go away and figure out how to do something and then come back in a couple of weeks and show me, here's what you could do, right? That's what I wanted. And I figured, okay, there's plenty of people that are in jobs similar to the one I had. That's what we want to be. And while I think the services we offered have changed and the focus of our services have changed, that is still fundamentally what we do. With Kate joining, we're doing a lot more with communications and marketing that we never did because that wasn't our skills and strengths. Yeah. But a lot of the teams we're working with, again, because they're sort of startup-like, that's a part of it, right? You have to communicate what you're doing inside the firm. You have to communicate it, you know, to your team, to other teams, marketing it once you've made it available to clients, right? There's all kinds of skills that I think a lot of teams don't necessarily anticipate. And you can't always grab from your law firm marketing team or your internal communications team because they don't know this stuff either. So it's the, being able to work with them in so many different levels, but still holding to that initial impetus for what we wanted to do. I don't need to be newly inspired because I'm still doing the things that I want to do. Right.
Well, there you go. That's perfect. Ryan, thank you very much for taking the time out. I always love our little chats. Soapboxes and all.
I'll get a new one.
When will I see you next? Where can people find out more about you?
I will be at AALL in Chicago, July 19th and 20th, 20th and 21st, I think. And then we're going to be at ILTA this year. We have a booth. We have a startup booth. It's the last year we can potentially be a startup, apparently. So we applied and we got it. And we didn't think we would, but we have a booth. We're going to play games and hang out in the vendor hall. So come by, talk to us about innovation.
That's Gen mostly AI, what I do anyway, so that's fine. Exactly. Just play games.
No, I know. I've worked with you in those things.
Yeah, well, there is that. There is around, that.
So.
Just messing around.
So come see us at ILTA. We'll be there.
We'll do. Definitely. But keep well. Keep safe. Say hello to Kate for me and Sashi.
I will
speak to you very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you.